This week's iTunes review is brought to you by M.L. Martel. She writes, 5 stars, Kim is more than just knowledgeable in just health and fitness. She is supportive, reassuring, and on the level. She gives it to you straight, just the way most people need it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate that review. And you too can review Fit Girl Magic Podcast. Just go to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to this show and just leave me a 5-star review. I love them. I take them to heart. I just want to make sure that I'm bringing you the best stuff. So thank you so much for all of you who have left me a review so far. I can't wait to highlight you. Hey, Magic Makers, it's Kim here, and today's conversation is just going to be very eye-opening and informative. And before I hop into the introduction of the episode, I just want to let you know that over the course of this podcast, I'm going to talk a lot about medical issues. And it is not to diagnose or treat anything. This is more about how do we broaden the conversation? How do you, as a woman, become more informed and make better informed health decisions? So my conversations with people like Cindy Luquin is more about how do you go in and say, okay, this makes the most sense for me, okay? So there's nothing about what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is right. This is pure information so that you can make that informed choice. All right, I'm off my soapbox and I'm going to introduce Cindy Luquin. She is a certified fertility doula, fertility awareness educator, scholar, as well as she calls herself a savvy Guatemalan. Today's conversation was all about the birth control pill. And I know that many of us are either still on it, have been on it, have been encouraged to go on it, have been encouraged to go off it. Today was a frank conversation about the good, the bad, and the ugly about the pill. So listen in. As always, I love to hear your feedback. So leave me a review on iTunes. Shoot me a DM. You can find me on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, as well as old-fashioned email. So here's today's conversation with Cindy Luquin. Thank you.
Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock-steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, Magic Makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
Hey, Magic Makers, it's Kim here, and I have a great episode for you. This is a topic that I first found out about probably like 4 years ago, and it blew my damn mind, and I need to bring this to you. Today, we're talking all about the birth control pill. Yeah, that pill that all of us begged our parents to get on. Yeah, I don't know if that was a good idea. So today, I have my guest expert is Miss Cindy Luquin, and she is gonna bust open the pill, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hey, Cindy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we probably did the same thing. You know, you're like, oh, I don't want to have babies. I should just go on the birth control pill.
Mm-hmm.
And, and you know, you're like, oh, a pill a day? That's amazing. It's magical.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how they make it seem, you know, when you go get it from the doctor.
Right. And so, you know, at what age did you start birth control?
Let me think. I was 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think I was in my either late teens, early 20s when I went on the pill. And I think that's, you know,
well, maybe nowadays it's probably younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I had some friends that were on it really young, like 19 or just, I've heard some people even younger than that, because, you know, sometimes young folks have irregular periods. And so the doctors tell you, you know, to go on it to regulate it and all that. So yeah, I've known people that have been on it for like a decade or two even, which is kind of mind boggling.
Cause that was the, I never had a regular period, and that was the, and then when I did have it, I had like, you know, mind numbing cramps. And that was my, my gynecologist's like first thing. She's like, hey, if you go on the pill, you'll, your, you know, your periods will lighten out, you'll, have less cramping, less bleeding. And, you know, the upside was like, oh, and then you won't get pregnant. And I was like, oh, all right, sign me up. how did you go on the pill?
I had really bad acne. Like when I turned 21 or 22, my acne just like exploded. And so I thought, well, I've heard that the pill kind of helps with that. And I didn't want to take Accutane. So I went to the clinic on campus. I was at, in college at the time. And they were like, sure. So they gave me the pill. And I thought, well, I'm kind of doing, killing two birds with one stone.
Right.
And so I just started. And I had been on it for, I had tried three different types while I was on it for 6 years. So first I did, what was it, Yaz. Then that was a recall or something. Then I did Yasmin. And then I did the last one, which was the generic type, or I guess the lower dosage, which was orthotricycline.
Yep.
So I kind of jumped around, because after a while of being on Yaz or Yasmin, I mean, there was that recall that they did. And then I remember just feeling like, I don't quite feel all there. You know, I would tell the doctors, they're like, maybe the dosage is too high, so let's change the dosage to a little bit less. And so that's why I kept switching around.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because, and, you know, we'll get into your story, but instead of like saying, huh, maybe your body just doesn't like this, it's like, it's the pill. You know, there's 50 different brands. So let's try brand X, let's try brand Y. And like, you know, and then your body's constantly trying to process all this that you're putting into it.
Yes, exactly. It's like always trying to recalibrate itself, always trying to figure out like, okay, how much are we taking in so we can like operate?
Right. And, you know, our bodies are always trying to get into homeostasis. So it's like, you know, with us putting in these artificial hormones, it's like working overtime to like figure it out. Like, what is happening here? So here you are, you're on the pill, you're switching from here to, you know, this drug to this drug to that drug. And then at what point did, you know, things go south for you?
So I remember when I was on it for like year four, I always say, when I was in year four, I had already been thinking, what is this doing to me? I remember having that thought, like, should I be on the pill anymore? I kind of wanted to get off it, but that fear of like, oh, but I don't want to get pregnant. And so I stayed on it for two more years. And I started feeling pelvic pain, and I had been an athlete for a long time. So I was always active and in sports in high school and junior high. And I did a little bit in college too. Then I just did, you know, working out. I did, you know, all the things. I would run, I did a CrossFit, I lifted weights, I did all the things. And then I remember feeling the pelvic pain on my right side. And so once I, you know, became a career woman, a professional, I was able to have insurance. And I finally went to the doctor, and I kept telling them, you know, I have pelvic pain. And they were like, oh, well, take this pill. You probably worked out too hard. Take this pill and it'll go away. And it would go away once I stopped for a few days. Then I'd start up again. I'd do my running and it would start again. And I was like, you know, this isn't really going away. So I kept going to the doctor, and they just kept giving me pain medication, until one day I remember being at work, and I just could not stand anymore. I couldn't even do my job. I couldn't stand. I couldn't sit. So I took myself to urgent care, and I said, this pelvic pain is really getting worse. What can we do? And luckily the doctor that did see me said, okay, we're going to do an X-ray. they did the x-ray. They were like, we see some abnormal stuff. We're going to do an ultrasound. So when they did the ultrasound, that's when they discovered that I had a grapefruit size cyst on my right ovary and a very small cyst on my left ovary.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And after that, I remember asking the doctors, well, how long has this been in there? I've been on birth control for 6 years. Could that have been possibly why this growth, you know, came to be? And then they said, well, you know, when you take the pill, there's always a risk. And I said, well, nobody ever told me that there was any risk. You all just gave it to me without any explanation. And they're like, well, yeah, there's always a risk, you know, this and that. And so after that, there was no way of, at least I think now, at the time, I didn't think of any other way that I could possibly have shrunk it or tried other alternatives, right? It just became too painful. It was getting in the way of my daily life. It was getting in the way of, like, you know, doing my job and, like, surviving and providing for my livelihood. So I went ahead and had surgery. I had laparoscopy. I always say that wrong, but
yeah,
a laparoscopy. Sorry, I'm getting over being sick. Let me try again. So I had laparoscopy, and they had to remove it. I had the entire right ovary removed. And they just kind of cleaned up the left ovary, and that one could be salvaged. It was basically the cyst had consumed my entire ovary. So if you compare a grapefruit to a size of an almond, the almond size is basically what your ovary looks like. And then the grapefruit was a cyst kind of consuming the entire ovary. So there was no way of, like, you know, removing that in a way where the ovary would still be intact. So I had my right ovary removed. And then I was in recovery, and when I went post-surgery, they said, okay, you look like you're recovering well. Luckily for me, it did not affect my cycle. My cycle started up right again, and everything seemed fine. So when I went back, they said, okay, you know, if you want to go back on the pill, you can. For a method of birth control. And I said, what? Why would I do that? Isn't that what brought me here in the first place? They said, no, it will actually help shrink any potential cysts that grow on your existing ovary. Mm. And I thought, this is crazy, because I've literally lost an organ and you're telling me to go back on the medication that made me lose this organ.
Yeah.
And so I just remember walking out of the doctor's office, like, I need to figure out something else, because I'm not going to go on that medication again.
Yeah.
And so that's what led me to a year-long search of, like, finding natural birth control. I was Googling, I was going to the library, and then that's when I finally came across this book called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. And I found it at my library, and I just started reading, and I was blown away by the information. It's like sex ed for grown people. You know, we never get this information. I learned we are not fertile every single day of the month. There's only a fertile window, a certain time that we are. And even then, you know, depending on what our lifestyles are or what was going on in that month, we may not even ovulate in that month. So,
right.
So that just opened a whole new plethora of information that I never knew. And I just remember being fascinated, being upset, being angry, because I'm like, I've gone almost 30 years not knowing how my body works, and I've been in fear all this time. And so, that's pretty much how I got into this work.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, because you're right. Like, they sell you the pill as everything. You know, you went for acne, I went to, like, even out my period, you know, you know, and then they're like, oh, but if you take the pill, you might minimize your risk of cysts. And you're like, but hang on, like, that's not 100% for me. So,
right.
You know, and now after me having some hormonal issues and some other things, I'm tracing a lot of things back to me artificially manipulating my hormones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the story for a lot of us. And so, there's just a lot to unpack there. We can sit with that. I know.
And it's so funny, as I was preparing for this interview, I was like, gosh, there's like the roads are like, there's like 500 paths. So ooh, yeah. Like, how do I take this? So we're not here for 4 hours. I guess the best thing I can say is, so so many people are going, all right, so you're telling me the pill sucks. What, you know, so out of, you know, you started reading that book, you started doing all your own research. What would you say to someone who's currently on the pill or thinking about the pill? Like, what are some of the alternatives mm-hmm. that you can use if you're not ready to be a mama?
So what I've been practicing for the past 5 years is called the fertility awareness method. And the fertility awareness method is basically kind of an umbrella, because when you get into this work and get to the level of understanding that I'm at, you realize that there's like an umbrella, and that's what for FAM, that's what it's shortened. You'll see a lot of groups, or if you follow different things, that it's pronunciated FAM, F-A-M. That's the umbrella, and under that umbrella, there are different methods that you could use. So I use what's called the symptothermal method. Sympto meaning you're looking at the different fertility signs that your body is giving you. So you're checking cervical fluid, which is basically what people would recognize as vaginal discharge. And I always say, I personally don't like using discharge because it has this connotation that the vagina is dirty, when in reality it's not.
Right.
So, you know, it can be vaginal secretions, cervical mucus, cervical fluid, and then you check your basal body temperature, which is the thermal and symptothermal. Basal body temperature is different than a regular thermometer that you would use for, let's say, if you have a fever, if you're sick. It's very specific. It calculates to like the 10th. So it's very, very precise. And then you could also check, which is optional, your cervical position. So obviously this would require you to internally check where your cervix is, getting familiar with the inside of your vagina, and then recognizing the changes that goes through throughout your cycle, because the cervix does change position depending on where you're at in your cycle. So all of those signs are really indicating when you're fertile and when you're not throughout the cycle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there are several non-hormonal options out there, you know, clearly, yes. You know, everyone's heard of condoms, everyone's heard of diaphragms, everyone's heard mm-hmm. of, you know, spermicidal jellies and all of that other things. So you can take it a more natural approach, or you can now start to, you know, look at other alternatives. And even now, because of the whole all the things happening with plastic, you know, they're now non-petro
mm-hmm.
condoms.
And yeah, definitely.
Good. And so, you know,
at the materials that they use and how they would affect your body, and making sure they're not harmful to your body. And so that's what I like about being around during this time. You know, I feel like, okay, I'm good, and I'm glad that I'm alive in this time, because so much has advanced, right, to help us do better. But yeah, so like you mentioned, condoms are effective. I feel like a lot of people, again, that's that fear that that's put in us about, like, oh my God, condoms, like, they don't work. There's only 80-something percent. They're only 80-something percent effective. When you look at, you know, website, very popular websites that you would look for, like sexual education. The problem with those statistics is a lot of times they're based on like perfect use or typical use. So
right.
It's really based on like users' responsibility, you know, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Somebody that doesn't know exactly how to use a condom, or somebody that doesn't know exactly how to use the fertility awareness method. And the problem is, when it comes to, like, if you look on a website and you see, okay, what's the effectiveness rate of the fertility awareness method? you'll see that it's like 79%. And so that will turn a lot of people off because they'll say, oh my God, I don't want to get pregnant. The problem with that is like when they do those statistics, they're lumping it in with the rhythm method and the calendar method. And the calendar method is very different because that's an old school way of thinking, okay, all women have cycles that last 28 days. Right. Therefore, all women ovulate on day 14. And that's a big, big misconception and a big problem because that's actually going to really mess you up depending on what you're trying to achieve. If you're trying to conceive, you might not ovulate on day 14. I mean, there's a whole window. There's about like 6 days of your fertile window, depending on the right environment and everything, that you would be considered fertile. And then also if you're trying to avoid conceiving or getting pregnant, there's that window also. And that can be delayed. That can happen earlier. And then that's why paying attention to those signs that your body is giving you is so important, because you don't want to miss the mark of when your actual point of ovulation is, you know? Right. So that's why I always say, like, look at those things with caution. The fertility awareness method is actually 99.6% effective when you have been taught by an instructor. I have been trained to understand all of that, so I teach that on a regular basis. But if you do try to learn on your own, you might come across things that are confusing, or you might get it confused with the rhythm method, and that's what mm-hmm. I want to prevent people from doing, because it's really what I find is frustrating, is that a lot of people automatically assume, well, I don't want to do that, it takes too much work, which I understand, like, we all have different circumstances in our lives. But I'm trying to say is, like, eventually you might want to get off of the pill, but you don't know how. So now you're stuck with, you know, like myself, I wanted to get off it by year four, but I stayed on it for 2 more years.
Right.
What would have happened if I had gone off of it when I wanted to, you know? So right. I'm trying to open people's minds to, like, reimagining, like, what would it be like if you started learning about this early on or when you wanted to, so that way you can at least transition off the pill with more ease.
Yeah. And that you kind of rolled into one of the questions that I was going to ask. So first I'm going to step back. So here I am, I'm listening to this this podcast, and I'm saying to myself, well, I'm on the pill right now. Why is it so bad?
Okay. So so the pill, a lot of people think that there's this huge misconception that when you're on the pill, you're tricking your body that it's pregnant. And that's right. Not true.
Right.
What it's actually doing is, when they did studies on comparing your hormone panel from somebody that was on the pill in comparison to somebody that was pregnant, they saw, well, no, that actually doesn't make sense. There are huge differences there. But when they took the pill, somebody on the pill, and compared it to women that are going through menopause, they found that it was exactly the same. Excuse me. They found that it was exactly the same. And so they basically came to the conclusion that since the pill is shutting down ovulation, it's basically shutting down the communication from your brain to your ovaries, because what ends up triggering your cycle and putting us into puberty and all those different changes and having menstruation every month is actually the hormones in your brain, which are the follicle stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone, are having a direct communication with your reproductive system. So it would be your ovaries. And your ovaries give off hormones like estrogen and progesterone. So the pill is stopping that communication altogether. And since it's stopping the communication, it's suppressing the hormones in order for you to ovulate. So since it's suppressing that, it's basically flatlining your hormones, so it just looks the same throughout the entire cycle. And so that's why when you imagine women that are going through menopause, you're not producing estrogen as much anymore, your progesterone is dropping, you're going through a whole different change, your fertility is kind of like at its last leg. And so that's why it's so important to recognize that, oh shoot, this is actually doing a lot more to my body than just, mm-hmm. you know, me not getting pregnant, it's really affecting all of the different pieces that your endocrine system is doing. And so that's why it's so important to recognize this and realize that it's beyond just like, well, I'll just stop the pill and it'll be fine. It's like, it takes some time for your body to go back to its natural cycles. And if you've never known what that looks like, imagine like now you're discovering what your real cycles look like at like 29 when you've been on the pill maybe since you were like 16, which I hear a lot all the time.
Oh, I mean, if you think about it, you know, a lot of my audience, they're, you know, women in their like late 30s to over 40s. So if we really do the math, I might have been on the pill from high school to now maybe I'm in my 30s and I might be thinking about having my first baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then I wonder, like, I've been trying for 6 to 9 months and nothing. And because you've been, you know, kind of signaling to your brain, this isn't the way you're supposed to work for over 15 years. Then as soon as you have, you know, your little nugget, they're like, hey, within X number of, you know, weeks or months, go right back on. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you want to have nugget number two and nugget number three, and the cycle continues.
Yeah. And it's just like this, I really think about, like, it's just this, you're putting your body through so much. I mean, it's already going through so much, right? When you want to have a child, like, your body's already going through so many changes and hormones and, you know, physically and everything. And then you're like, jump back on something and then you jump back off. It's just like, it's a lot for your body to take. It's a lot of stress on your hormones. It's a lot of stress on you mentally, physically, and spiritually, I think. And one more thing I did want to add is that a lot of people think that the period that they get while they're on the pill is, you know, quote unquote, your period. It's actually not. It's just kind of a withdrawal of all those synthetic hormones that you've been putting into your body. And it's recognized as a withdrawal bleed. So it's basically a fake bleed that you're having, and that was designed by the scientists that created it in order for it to do that. Because if we look at different methods, like I'm sorry, let me clear my throat.
That's okay.
If we look at different methods, like the implant, the shot, you know, the IUD, I don't know if many people have questioned is like, why is it that some can last for 5 years? Why is it some that can last for, you know, however many months without me having to take a pill every day? That's because they were designed that way. So the pill was designed in a way when they first created it where women didn't bleed at all. And so when they were doing these trials, they found that the women automatically thought like, oh no, I'm pregnant.
Wrong.
I'm pregnant,
right?
Because I'm not getting my period. And so a lot of women stopped. They were like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, I'd rather just go back to how we were. And so the scientists reevaluated and they thought, okay, the only way that we can get these women to take this pill is like, we have to design a way where they will get a period because that's their indicator. So they know that they're not pregnant. So they did that. That's how they created the pill. So that's why that last packet, that last week that you take, you have the period.
It's the feel-good week.
yes. It's the withdrawal, but it's not actually your natural cycle, which I find very, very crazy and weird at the same time.
Yeah, and you know, you just nailed it, put the nail on the head, right? So, you know, I don't know, the pill's been around since the, you know, late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was their way of hooking women. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, okay, let's get them hooked. Let's give them their period for, you know, 3 to 5 days. And then that way they will always use this thing and we can make more money,
yes.
You know, but now, you know, that, you've probably read her book, Dr. Bright, Jocelyn Bright.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, she and I, all the books we've been referencing, I will definitely put in the show notes. But she kind of pulled back the myth. There are no studies at all about women who've taken the birth control pill for more than 5 years, more than 10 years. There's no study that shows what are the long-term effects?
Right. And I always think about like the women that, you know, the first wave of feminism, right? I think like, I wonder if there were, if we did do studies on those women that did take the pill when it was like brand new, like what would we find? How is their health now? How is their, you know, the reproductive system now? I just like,
right.
There's nothing that's been done about that.
No, there's no studies at all. And the one thing that I look at is people nowadays, you know, when I was growing up, you never heard about people having fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, or you did hear about it, but it was like that, like random person. It wasn't that, you know, pretty much like every other person being like, yeah, we tried for months and months and months, mm-hmm. you know? And so it kind of makes you think about, you know, how long were you on the pill before you said it's time for us to have children?
Yes. Yeah. And I've heard a lot of my friends who do have children now say that their doctors were like, oh, it'll be fine. Just get off the pill and then, you know, start trying. And it's like, right. But like you mentioned in the book, Dr. Jolene Brighton, she says like there's a whole detox period, which is actually true. You know, you have to detox your body from those synthetic hormones for some time. Because what I teach and what I work with people one-on-one is when I work with them, like specifically in personal coaching, I always tell them it's a 4-month process because it takes about 100 days for you to have healthier eggs mm-hmm. and a healthier cycle to cycle out whatever the lifestyle that you've been having already or, you know, getting off of the pill to start having like a healthier reproductive system, healthier cycles, healthier habits in order for that to function optimally, whether you want to have kids or not, you know, right. It's just important for you to have that functioning at its best because that means that if you're ovulating and you're ovulating every month, that means that you're making sufficient amount of the hormones you're supposed to make. And that is going to benefit your health and well-being overall.
Yeah. And it's funny how, you talked about this detox period. So for those people who are now like, you're listening to this and you're like, wait, hang on, like they're making some good points here. And you're saying to yourself, you know, or maybe you've been twofold. One, thinking about, you know, I've been on the pill for a million years. Or two, you're like, hey, I am thinking about, you know, starting to have a family. So what are some, you know, simple things that I can do? All right, hang on. I'm going to totally reverse this. One, maybe I'm listening and I'm like, you know, these ladies, they're making some sense. You know, what are some things that I can notice in my body that might be a sign that the pill's not for me?
Mm. Well, I always say anything that's making you feel like your mental state is different. I know for me, that's what it was, but I kept kind of ignoring that.
Yep.
We'll go a little bit more into like, I guess the mental health and like spirituality aspect of this. Women are intuitive by nature. Like we just are, you know? Yep. So anytime your gut is telling you,
oh yeah,
that something feels off, we actually really need to pay attention to that because that's never going to steer us wrong. The problem is, I think that in the society that we live in and, you know, the different structures that we live under, it's very male dominated. It's very patriarchal. So we have been taught to ignore these signs that our intuition is telling us or that our gut feeling is telling us. Our intuition basically comes from that space, right? That womb space, that pelvic area.
Right.
That's where our creativity comes from. That's where life starts itself, right? So anything that's making you feel like, I don't quite feel like myself, pay attention to that right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to indicate something deeper and you want to investigate more and go to your doctor and say, hey, you know what? This pill is making me feel kind of weird. Like I'm not feeling it or I don't quite feel all there. My mental health, like I might be going through depression. And that's another thing that they found some studies some years back is people that are on the pill have a higher risk of getting anxiety and depression. So that's something to be very mindful of. I always tell women about that too. So definitely anything that just makes you feel off. Anytime you feel pain, anytime you obviously are missing your cycle or your period, those can be all like immediate indicators of, hey, something's up. I should really like investigate more.
Yeah. And the other thing that, you know, are the side effects, if you will, you know, some people, they put on weight. Sometimes their joints mm-hmm. are achy. Sometimes it just doesn't settle in their tummies. You know, those are mm-hmm. all signs that your body is like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. And that's a really good point that you made. I've had some people that come to me and they say, you know, I started feeling like these random aches or like these little twitches, like in my pelvic area, or sometimes I feel like random like chest pains. Like, go to the doctor, please go to the doctor, you know, and get the help that you need, because that is not normal to feel those things.
Yeah. And, you know, and I know, and I'm sure people listening have heard this, because I know I've heard this from my doctor. Oh, give it a couple of months. Your body's just getting used to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and most of you have been listening to my show for a while. You know, I don't bash people. My whole point in having these conversations is to open your eyes, because mm-hmm. my eyes were like glued shut. If my doctor told me to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, I was gathering my stuff and heading to the bridge. And
it's true. We all do, right?
Yeah. And so now I want us all to go in as informed patients mm-hmm. because, you know, sadly, your doctor is gold on how many patients they can see in a day. And, you know, they're going to spend 5 minutes with you, hear like the top three things, and jump to the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Where now with our interwebs, Dr. Google, and great books by like Dr. Jolene Bright, other books, you can start to read and get more awareness so that when you go in there and you have your 5 minutes with your doctor, you can start to ask smarter questions. Or exactly. Just know the questions to ask, because I didn't even think to question that maybe the reason why I was having bad periods was because my hormones were all jacked up. And so instead mm-hmm. of just going to CVS and filling that prescription, I should have asked her to be like, hey, well, why don't we check what my hormones are doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
And focus on where my imbalance is versus just throwing some random shit at me.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. I love that you mentioned that. That's really why I do this work too. It's to inform people, to ask further questions. I mean, the doctors are really there to serve us, right? To make sure that we're okay with our health and well-being. And what I find too is that since I do work with a lot of women of color, is there's that fear of like, oh, well, I don't want to be pushy. It's like, no, like we need to, because they're there to provide us the care that we deserve. And so a lot of the work I do too is like helping prompt them, like, these are the questions you need to ask. These are the tests that you should be asking for. They might not give it to you right away, but the more you ask, the more they're going to have to answer it. Or if they don't want to do it right away, what I always say, and I learned this from, I believe it was Black Twitter. I think I saw somebody said that if they don't want to give you the tests or, you know, follow up with something that you requested, tell them, okay, can you document that you did, that you denied me this? And you'll see that they will change their tune. You know,
oh, yeah.
Like it might be like, some people might think, oh, that's being aggressive. Like, no, just ask them, okay, like, you denied. And I actually learned this from my mom too, because she would go to the doctor all the time and say like, they denied me this. Why did you deny me this? I want you to document that though.
Yeah. Because it's like, if you think about nowadays in this world, you know, you need to just make sure that like you showed that you asked for that test. So God forbid mm-hmm. it doesn't turn into something. You could say on November 10th, I said I wanted, you know, my thyroid checked and you said mm-hmm. no. So that mm-hmm. if a year from now something goes wrong with my thyroid, I'd be like, you know what? I've been complaining about my thyroid for exactly 1 year and you have done bupkis about it.
Right. And you have that documentation to back yourself up and say like, hey, like I've been dealing with this issue for a very long time. Exactly how you said, like, it's just gonna help plead your case more. And it's gonna, you're advocating for your health. You yeah. really need to advocate for your health. Like you said, we only get what, like maybe 10 minutes to be with our doctor. I mean, it's sad.
Yeah. And, you know, people who've listened to the podcast before, I've told them this story. So probably 5 years ago, I noticed I was putting on weight and I was like, I eat really well. I work out. Like there's something going on. And like you said, Cindy, you know, your gut. And I'm like, my gut was like, something ain't right. And I just remember asking my doctor, I was like, you know, something's off and you've been my doctor for a really long time. Weight has never been my issue. I come in, I am like one of your healthiest patients. So when I complain about my weight and you didn't take me seriously the first year, I was like, all right, well, maybe I could work a little harder. The second year, I'm like, okay, I'm on my way to my 600-pound life.
Mm.
And finally, that's when, you know, my deeper dive into alternative work really happened because I was like, I'm gaining 10 pounds a year. Like something is going on.
Yeah.
And you're not listening. And so I'm too vain to let this happen.
Yeah. I mean, and you recognize that this is not normal for me.
Yeah. And, you know, so both Cindy and I are saying this, you know, we're on our soapboxes saying, you know, be your own advocate because, you know, Cindy, literally, she's like, I have a pain in my side. I have a pain in my side. And they blew her off. They're like, you're working out too hard. You're this, you're that. And you're like, she's like, okay, maybe I am. And, you know, you kind of in your mind be like, oh, maybe I am overreacting.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, then you go into like what you think that you're probably just going to get, you know, you're like, oh, maybe I just have a UTI or something. You're like, I'm just going to couple antibiotics and go on my way. And meanwhile, they're like, oh, honey, you got a grapefruit sized cyst in your ovary. You're like, what?
Yeah. You're like, yeah, it was just, I always say now in retrospect, I mean, it was a blessing in disguise because now I do the work that I do. But my whole point is like, I don't want other people to have to experience that. If I can prevent through my story in a way and open somebody's eyes, then that's to me worth the journey that I went through.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show is because like, you know, as women, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to be too loud. We don't want to be too pushy. You know, it's the doctor, they know best. And it never, ever hurts to get a second opinion. It doesn't.
And that's, and what you brought up was a really good point too of, you know, we have this idea that doctor knows best, but the reason that your doctor is prescribing the pill so easily is like, think about it. Like that's the education they got.
Yes.
So, you know, knowing the niche or having the knowledge that I have is like very niche. There's not many people out there that know it. And so for them, it's like a foreign concept. They're going to tell you, I've had my doctors tell me, I said, you know, they always go in, what do they tell us when we go to our checkups? What are you doing for contraceptive? I said, well, I'm using the fertility awareness method. Are you using condoms? I said, yeah, you know, once in a while when I know exactly when, are you taking the pill? No. Well, you know that you'll probably end up getting pregnant. I said, no, I know how my body works. Well, you know, there's always a risk. You know, just be careful.
Well, there's a risk with the pill.
Yeah.
My friend Jackie has two pill babies because she was taking antibiotics, but they never tell you, hey, by the way, taking antibiotics and the pill, it negates it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, as I like wrap up the conversation, you know, before I wrap it up, we never talked about getting off the pill. So for those of you who are like, they're making some good points, or I'm thinking about having, you know, my nugget. What are, you know, you said that it takes anywhere from what you said, 4 months to
3 to 4 months. Yeah. So that would be like 90 days, 100 days. Yeah.
Right. So how do I start to, you know, detox myself from the pill?
So when you're detoxing, you want to make sure that you're, I always say food is medicine. So you want to make sure that you're eating the right foods, or foods that are going to help boost the nutrient depletion that the pill ended up making you have. So it will deplete zinc, it will deplete magnesium, you know, very important minerals and vitamins that you need for your body to make these hormones. You want to make sure that you're eating foods that are rich in that. So, you know, a lot of leafy greens. I always say it's really important to, because part of my work too is I don't like to subscribe to like diet culture. So foods right. that are very comforting for you that are more culturally aligned to who, to your background. So whatever that may be for me, that I am Guatemalan and Salvadorian. So it's like eating a lot of soups, you know, like eating a lot of chicken soup with vegetables. Like we have squash. We have a lot of avocados in our food. We have a lot of, let me think, plantains also is a really good one. So that worked for me, you know, instead of just like having this model that we think that we all need to follow. I always say like, eat foods that are going to make you feel good, but they're also going to be nutrient rich. So that way your body can start making and producing what it wasn't getting while you were on the pill. So you right. want to make sure that you're eating a lot of that, or, you know, supplementing in a way that's like considered bioidentical to what your body is actually supposed to make. So make sure that you're doing that. Make sure that you're supporting liver function too, because what ends up happening is you, and you probably know more about this, I feel, but just a general overview is, you know, your liver does the detoxification process. So you want to make sure that you're supporting the liver to optimize and function the way that it's supposed to. So again, you know, just eating foods that are going to really support you. And if you need to take supplements, then take the right supplements. And Dr. Jolene Brighton does a really good job at, in her book, The Beyond the Pill, because it's basically a protocol of how to get off of it. So always recommended. So actually a really easy read. I think it's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty easy read.
Yeah. So definitely look at that, and you'll always have it in your personal library. So you can always refer back to it instead, you know, in a way that you can, and then you can highlight different things. So that's a really great one. Also make sure that you follow people that know what they're talking about, like her. There's also Dr. Laura Brighton, who is, I believe she's in New Zealand. Yeah. She does a really great job. She created the Period Repair Manual, which is a book, and I actually helped her do the translation. So it's in Spanish too, for any of you out there that may be Spanish speakers or have people that you know that are Spanish speakers. There's the Spanish version called Cómo Mejorar Tu Ciclo Menstrual. So that's a really great one too. It's another really easy read, and it helps you with different things that you may be going through. So let's say it's been 3 to 4 months and you're still not getting your period, right? That one's a really good one, because a lot of women who may experience lack of period, which is known as amenorrhea, she gives a really, really great protocol and tips on how to get that back, and the questions that you should be asking your doctor and the supplements that you want to be taking. So resources like that are really great.
Yeah. And what was the name of, you said the Laura Brighton book, and then you said the book, after that,
The Laura Brighton book is the Period Repair Manual.
Okay. Repair Manual. Okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up, the first thing is to, one, just check in with your body, right? You know, the more you know your body better than anybody on the planet. So just check in and just see, how do you feel on the pill? And, you know, maybe go a month or two without taking it, just so you get an idea of like what you should start to feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or just to see, or maybe you've been on it for so long, you're like, I have no idea if this is weird or not. So, you know, go off it for a couple of months and then bring it back in just to see if it is affecting you. Cause maybe it's not. You know, like we're all very different. And then if you are deciding to go through that detox, you know, you have Cindy, it could be your guide. She could be your guide to also just alternatives to birth control to really start to zero in on that umbrella method that she talked about earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you know, we've given you two great book resources that can help you, you know, go through that period. But I also believe that, like, having a conversation with an expert like Cindy is a non-negotiable in my book.
Because
it's like, you know, for the amount of time and energy you could go clicking and scrolling and bobbing and weaving through the interwebs, you can just literally hit up Cindy and she can, in probably 30 plus minutes, can just be like, all right, girl, this is what we got to do.
Yeah.
And just, you know,
I've done all the sifting and filtering through the internet and the books. So yes. Right. Yes. And
me too. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. I spent, I don't know how many hours, and you probably felt the same way. How many hours you spent, you know, researching it and then going through all these like rabbit holes to be like, end up in like a dead end. You're like, all right, let me back out mm-hmm. and start all over again. We've done that for mm-hmm. you. So just,
yes,
you know, just spend the time with Cindy. You know, we have some great book resources, or read those books and then be like, okay, I have a basic idea. And then hop on the phone with Cindy and be like, okay, I read the books. Here's where I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's what confuses me, you know? Mm-hmm. But there are alternatives out there, and, you know, both of us, we were you. Like, this is not me shaming anybody. This is me, like, I fell into the same trap. My mm-hmm. doctor said, you have these problems, take the pill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I think what you made was a really great, great key point, is that I'm not here to bash on the pill or bash anybody that chooses to go on the pill. I mean, our life circumstances are different, but I know that at some point you might feel like, all right, how long do I want to be on this? And that's where I think the gap is like, we're not talking about it, or there's not at least like, I think, imagine if there was a protocol or something out there that was like, okay, you know, you want to be on the pill for this time because you're in college or whatever, but what is going to be your exit plan? You know, right. What's that going to look like? Let's revisit it in like 2 years. And then if you still feel the same way, or if you want to try a different method, then here are your options. You know, there isn't. That's where the medical system fails. I mean, that's where it falls short, you know?
Yeah. Cause I know when I was on the pill, like, you know, my doctor's like, okay, here's a prescription for the next year. See you next year, you know, or 6 months, or see you next year, you know? And I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. See ya.
Yeah. Yeah. And also another thing that I think is really important, and this is what I did, was having communication with your partner if you aren't in a relationship. You know, or let's say you're not in a relationship, just having a conversation with people that you are intimate with, like, yeah. Hey, this is what I use. This is what I know. And let's like talk about this, because it's really about body literacy. And it goes, now we're going like beyond that. Like, the reason that this is so important is because body literacy is going to help you consent over your own body. You're gonna know exactly what feels good in your body, what feels right for your body, and that's going to translate in all different aspects and areas in your life.
Yeah. Or in just being able to stick up for what you want with mm-hmm. any sexual partner.
Yes. Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna have sex with someone, you should be able to have these awkward conversations.
And right. Yeah. I mean, really, that's like the most intimate thing.
Yeah. So, Cindy, what is one thing that makes you feel magical?
Oh, I was thinking about this for a while. What makes me feel magical? Being able to do this every day. That's really what makes me feel magical. I just being able to share this knowledge and do this work and grow in it and see other people, the lights switch go on for them. That for me is like, wow, this is awesome. All right, I'm not making it up. This is real.
Good. Yeah, that, I think that's most of my folks who have joined me on the show. That's, they're like, when you just see that client just like get it, you're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
it just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on the socials?
So I'm most active on Instagram. You can follow me at Howl at the Womb. It's one T, so Howl, HOWLATHEWOMB. That is my Instagram. You see me, I'm most active on there. And then my website is howlatthewomb.com. And those are the two places where you can find me. And what I do want to say is when you sign up to my email list, you immediately get free access to a 1-hour webinar that I did in collaboration with another woman who does work like this. Her name is Brie Braggs. Her brand is Fertile Alchemy. And we both did a webinar for body literacy for women of color. So we used our perspectives and the different obstacles that we may come across and what are the options that you can take and how you can start learning more about your body so you can have healthier hormones and just have more informed, be more informed as a patient, as a person, and as a human just going throughout their life.
Exactly. Well, this has been very, very, very informative. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and give us your knowledge. And, you know, I hope that someone has taken away something here from this conversation, be it like I'm doing the right thing or, hey, it's time for me to make some decisions. Thank you so much, Cindy.
No, thank you. This was an honor. Thank you for having me.
You are quite welcome. Well, you guys know where to find me. Feel free to subscribe, rate, review on iTunes or anywhere you listen to your podcast. And thank you again, Cindy, for an awesome show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.